welcome to episode 21 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Andy, Robin, and Sandy. We are also happy to introduce a special guest this week. Amy Newman moved to Alaska more than 13 years ago and has lived in Juneau for 7 years and then Anchorage for the last six. She loves her new state and has written several articles for the Anchorage newspaper and various local magazines to promote it to tourists. We thought it would be great to pick her brain about her adopted state to improve your future visits. So the first question is, why does anyone move to Alaska? Why did you move to Alaska, Amy?
Why did I move to Alaska is probably different than why other people move up here. I moved up here. I had an internship with a nonprofit organization when I was in law school for the summer in Juneau. And I actually didn't like Juneau for like the first 2 weeks because there's nothing to do because I came from California. So there was like just nothing. But then I fell in love with it. And then I went back to law school, moved to Chicago with my then boyfriend. And then after a year, we decided to move somewhere else. And he said, you can pick wherever you want. And I said, we're going to go back to Juneau. And so we went up there and that was that. And we've been up here for 13 and a half years now.
No regrets?
Not by me, no.
So what's the temperature there today? What's the weather like today? It's cold in North Carolina.
Today, it is actually 40 degrees. It's been ridiculously warm for here right now. Like, the snow is all melting. It's just slush outside. Usually when, like, the weather warms up and then the snow all melts away, we call it breakup, and that doesn't happen until April, and so now it's happening now. This has been a really, really mild winter. Like, I think I shoveled 4 times, and it was about the most was 6 inches of snow. It's been odd this.
Yeah, we had a really cold week last week, and every day I was comparing, like, the temperature in Anchorage.
Did you?
It was warmer in Anchorage the whole week. Yeah.
There's, like, all these memes going around up here with a picture of, like, the lower 48 saying you want to get warm, come up to Anchorage. So it's really crazy. I don't know what's going on.
So, okay, so this one's a mild winter, but should people visit Alaska in winter? Is it worthwhile to come up there? Is it passable? What happens in winter in Alaska?
Usually since I've been in Anchorage, it's cold, but it's not much colder, I think, than Chicago or the other places that have a lot of snow. I think our winter just lasts longer. I mean, there's definitely periods where we will dip into the negatives, but it's really rare. And it's maybe like a week. I can recall like a couple of weeks, random weeks last year and the year before when I would take my kids to school in the morning and I'd drop them off at like 9, it would be negative 15. But that's not, here that's not, it's not consistent in Anchorage. So usually, I mean, it does get into the single digits, but mostly it's in the teens and 20s. So it's not, it just lasts longer. But if you're not a cold person, you probably wouldn't want to come up here. But if you like outdoors.
That's minus 15 Fahrenheit, correct? For those of us who are used to dealing in Celsius, that's really cold.
Yeah.
So do you get like the kind of snow Boston's seeing this year with, you know, where it's like up to your roof? Do you guys get snow like that?
Not usually. I think 3 years ago, we beat like our annual record snowfall. And I don't remember how much we had. Usually down, I want to say a foot. Maybe. And in the higher up in the elevation you go, it will get higher. So there are people who like take pictures and they open up their door and it's kind of high. But it's just, I think it's more consistent. Like, we don't get huge blasts of it and have like big winter storm advisories. It just is consistent most of the time, I think.
So then how is Juneau different from Anchorage? Is Juneau visitable in the winter?
Juneau is, there's not a lot to do in Juneau in the winter because the city basically is probably most of the jobs are government and then the rest of it is tourism. And so in the winter, after travel season is over, half of like downtown just shuts down and it's a ghost town. So there's not a lot of outdoorsy stuff to do in the winter in Juneau. There is a ski resort, but it snows in Juneau, but it's mostly rainy. So a lot of the times it's just miserable and rainy and then the snow would come and then it rains and it melts away. So I wouldn't come to Juneau in the winter specifically for outdoorsy activities or any type of activities.
Or anything at all, right?
If you have family, then yeah. There's not a lot to do. Like, if you want to go and do Alaska, you don't go to Juneau in the winter, I don't think.
So tell me, I want to know more about Anchorage, because we did some training on Anchorage, and I thought it sounded really cool. And I've had friends who have run a half marathon up there and spent a really good weekend, you know, going to the breweries and local restaurants and stuff. So what's your favorite thing to do in Anchorage?
Probably just get outside. I mean, I've gone to some of the museums and stuff, but since I have kids, they can only last so long there, you know, before they get bored. But mostly when it gets nice out, most people just head outside. So in the summer, you'll just find people out either hiking, or there's a lot of just paved trails downtown, like that are just flat and will go along the water. So just that, because it's such a short amount of time that you really can get outside and it's nice and warm that most people just do that.
If someone's visiting Alaska during the summer, what types of clothing should they bring with them? Well, what are the average temperatures?
I would say 60s. Some days it gets into the 70s. Last summer and the summer before, it got into the 80s some. Probably for the typical person coming from a place where there really is summer where it's like 90s, they're going to be probably a little on the colder side and they won't want to be wearing shorts, I guess. Jeans, people wear capris. You should probably still bring at least a light jacket. Because it does get cooler in the evenings and sometimes the weather just changes and you can go from like 70 and then all of a sudden it'll be 50 and overcast. You don't need hats or gloves or boots or anything like that unless you're total like crazy person who just can't stand the cold at all. And you do see some people, a lot of times you can tell just by looking who the tourists are by how they're dressed, because there are people who will have like gloves and hats. You're just insane. It's like 60 degrees. It's not that cold. But it's like they thought, I'm going to freeze. And so they brought this on. They've convinced themselves that they're cold or something. I don't know.
So how difficult was it to get used to? Because I know in summer you have incredible amounts of daylight in comparison to the lower 48. And it's obviously the opposite in the winter months. How hard was that to get used to?
You know, for me, it wasn't. It didn't really bother me that much. Some people have a really hard time with it, and they actually they call them sad lights. And so they'll go out and they'll buy these lights in the winter, and then they just will sit under them for like 15 to 20 minutes a day just to like kind of get that burst of like daylight. I mean, I don't actually think it was that bad. It's weird. Like, I'll take the kids to school in the morning and I'll drop them off at 8:30, and then it'll still be kind of dark at like 9:30 or even 10. When it's right smack in the middle of winter. But really, like when you're working, it's not so bad, because I would go to work and then I get to the office and then you're just in the office. So you're not, it's like, who cares if you're not out in the daylight because you're just inside working.
But the flip side of that, obviously in the summer months, you get many more hours of daylight. That just must make life so much easier and able to do more things and get outside and just have a good time, right?
Yeah, you can stay out later, do things later. It's weird because you'll be sitting around and it's bright outside and you think, I still have a couple hours, and you can go, it's 9:30, I need to be going to bed soon. You just totally like forgot. And so you always hear people, they stayed up way later than they intended because they just kind of forget what time it is. Waking up in the morning, sometimes then you wake up and you're like, it's time to get up. And it's only 4:30, so I can go back to sleep. That gets I find that a little bit harder than the dark, because it just, it messes with me a little bit more.
Yeah, I would think, because sunlight sort of naturally wakes you up, right? So you sort of, just have blackout curtains in the house.
We actually don't. We've never gotten them. We have big, heavy, we don't do that. I think I'm too cheap. I've just kind of dealt with it. Some people do. They buy the blackout curtains, or a lot of people actually, they'll put like tinfoil up in their windows.
Sometimes
they get over it. I'm looking at my windows. Like, that's why I keep turning. I'm like looking and seeing what I have. I'm like, it's not good.
Yeah, my kids, I can imagine if it was daylight, they would never want to go to bed. I used to have a really hard time when daylight savings time would come, and, you know, it would be 8:00 and it would be their bedtime, and they did not believe me. No, it's not that time. But
do you get that argument? Do the girls sort of say, Mom, it can't be bedtime, it's light out?
They started to last year, yeah. I'm sure it'll get worse as they get older, but...
So one of the things I remember, I've done some training with the Visit Anchorage folks, and obviously you have so much close proximity to nature and water and trails through downtown. You have different sort of wildlife up there. I mean, how frequent is it that you will see like a moose or something of that nature in and around the Anchorage area?
Since I've moved to Anchorage, I've never actually seen a bear, and I know people who live like up on the hillside, which is kind of up in the mountainous area, they have bears coming into their yards. But supposedly I've heard that there's been bears in my neighborhood before, but I've never seen one. I saw them in Juneau, but not here. But moose, you see a lot. I just saw one last week, just like down the street at my neighbor's house. I've gone into my living room and there's just like a moose in the front yard eating my plants. Just we'll be like downtown, and then there's just a moose walking by. So it really is.
How terrible.
They're so dope be looking to, they're like big and gangly, and then they'll run across the highway, and it's just kind of like, I don't know, they're just ridiculous looking things, but they're so cool.
That's my mind, coming from Northern England, where the most dangerous thing you see is a sheep.
No, if you could find a person in Anchorage who probably has never seen a moose. Like, even the people who come and visit us, I think everyone who's come to visit us, except for my sister's boyfriend, has seen a moose on their visit.
So he's a moose.
Hide them.
I don't know how this is. He's come like two different times for a week each. I'm like, how's it possible you haven't seen a moose?
Do they bother the people at all, or?
Usually they don't, unless they have their babies with them. Then there's a trail system kind of downtownish called Kincaid, and there's a lot of moose in there. And there have been some attacks of bikers, and they've actually filmed it with their GoPro cameras, just riding along, and then they didn't know that the moose was like in the woods on the side, and then the moose just like ran out and tried to attack them because they had babies with them. But usually, I mean, unless you're stupid and get close to them, which some people do, they leave you alone pretty much.
I think that's the thing about moose. They look so goofy and gangly and gentle that you
can
know,
just go up and pet their
Yeah, you can go pet their little noses and
Yeah, they'll come and stomp you.
Yeah.
You don't go near the moose, they'll come stomp you. Like, I think they're more deadly than the bears are.
Yeah, I mean, here we have to worry about hitting a deer with our car. Imagine if you hit a moose, then that's really bad.
So bears are not so much a problem. Or you said they are in Juneau. They come right into your backyard.
I had them when I lived there. I came home from work one day, and there was one in the driveway, and I, like, scared him up the hill.
Scared a bear up the hill?
Yeah, like,
that's awesome.
Up the side of the hill.
How do you scare a bear? This is a good life lesson.
He was kind of a baby, and so I just drove in, and he got startled and just ran.
They're actually scared. I know. I watched this video in Yosemite of the rangers. They had caught a bear that was near the campsites, and they were releasing it back into the other area. And when they release it, they yell at it. And they're like, go away, bear! Get! And all these people put all these comments about, that's so mean of you to yell at that bear. But really, you want them to be scared of humans. You don't want them to think that, you know, we're nice to them.
So, Amy, you've lived in Alaska now for over 10 years. Have you done much of, considered some of the touristy things? How much exploring have you done out in Alaska?
I used to work for the state, so I traveled around quite a bit to a lot of different places. Touristy stuff, like, you mean like...
have you ridden the gold mine train?
Like, what do you mean by touristy stuff?
Well, just some of the national parks, Denali, things like that, or, you know, just some of the people that typically clients of ours would come to Alaska and typically want to see.
Whale watching.
I haven't been to Denali.
Really?
No, I haven't. Well, because when I lived in Juneau, it was too far, and now I technically could drive there, but I don't know. We haven't done that, probably because we have kids, and we don't have anyone to watch them, so don't want to drive all that way just to drag kids through, like, the national park or anything.
Sure.
Kids hate national parks.
Like, the big one, I don't know. I think sometimes a lot of being here, there's a lot of people who come here and they're only here for a couple of years and they come with the intention that they're going to leave. And so they do a lot of that big touristy stuff. And then I think, like, for the other people, it's kind of like anywhere else. I don't know. You live there and you're like, oh, I'll get to it one day.
You take it for granted.
So my one day has not come yet. I mean, because I can just go outside and, you know, I see the mountains and I can see Chugach State Park and... It's just kind of a big adventure that we haven't done yet, but
well, it's going to be absolutely spectacular, though, the scenery that's around where you are.
Yeah, and so it's kind of like
it surely never gets old.
But when I was in Juneau, I did. I went on a helicopter tour. Yeah, a helicopter tour around Admiralty Island to see bears, and so we landed and saw some bears and did that, and that was pretty cool. We went over the glaciers and everything. You know, I've gone to the glaciers. I haven't hiked up on a glacier, but the Mendenhall Glacier in Juneau, you can just, like, get fairly close to the front of it. And then you can just go to the visitor center and it's, like, right there and you can see it. But then you can take, like, a easy walking trail and get pretty close up to it.
Have you ever ridden in a seaplane?
I have, several times. And those are interesting. The first time I went on one... And I went on some smaller planes, too. The pilot was talking about, like, all the gear that he had. He's, like, camping equipment and just in the back. And I'm like, I don't care about your camping equipment. Why are you telling me what you're carrying? And then as we're flying and I'm looking down and saying, oh, wait, if we crash, we're going to be in, like, this
nowhere.
That's what the camping equipment is. But those are
seat cushion isn't going to be much use.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be any use at all.
So does a
Alaska really have sort of the characters that we've seen on TV, like in the Northern Exposure kind of interesting folk? Is that stereotype real?
I think they obviously exaggerate it, but yeah, there are people up here who are kind of on the odd side. I think most people who move up here intentionally and not because, you know, their job just kind of transferred them here and they had no choice or anything, they all do seem to be a little odd because, like, they're... It's just so isolated up here. I don't know. I guess you have to be a little bit different to want to move up here and be basically in the middle of nowhere and cut off from everywhere else.
Yeah, I was watching an episode of House Hunters, and they were, I guess they were looking for, they wanted remote, but they were moving their entire family. And these little houses that they were looking at, you had to, like, climb up to this loft where the entire family was going to sleep, you know? And then they had an outhouse that only had three walls, you know? So, like, one whole wall was open. So you have a real bathroom, right?
Not like that at all. I live in a normal house with bathrooms and real bedrooms, and I'm not climbing into a loft. I mean, some people do, but they're the ones who really want to be out in the wilderness. But, yeah. I mean, we have indoor plumbing and... The only thing we probably don't have is air conditioning anywhere, except maybe like in some very big public places. But even then, it's so in the summer when it does get the rare 80 days, everybody is dying and it's just not good.
Oh, so it's just like Northern England with no air conditioning.
I was going to say, you don't ache for air conditioning very often, though, do you?
No, we don't. Yeah. And so, but when you do need it, then it's just ridiculous because then you'll go, everyone will go to the store to try to buy fans, like the box fans, and they're out because everyone's just like, sweat. It's like, oh my God, I'm so hot. It's just hot.
It's like here with snow shovels.
That's right. Yes. We don't, we actually don't own a snow shovel. We have spades that we have to shovel our driveway with because we've never purchased one. And whenever we think to purchase one, they're all sold out. So back to the touristy things. Are there things that you think people should come to Alaska and do that maybe they don't do as often? Do you have advice for tourists to make sure that they really experience Alaska the best way possible in the short time that they're there?
I guess it, are you talking more about like cruise people or?
Sure. I mean, whoever.
Let's say you have someone, you know, someone who's ending their cruise in Seward and they're going to spend two or three nights in Anchorage. What should they do?
I would check out the Alaska Native Heritage Museum, which I think somebody mentioned on the last Alaska podcast.
Episode 10 for our three listeners at home.
I mean, because that is it, you know, they have representations of the different Alaska Native cultures up here, and they, you know, they do presentations and they have kind of history exhibits and they have, I haven't seen this part, but they have like living exhibits. So you go outside and they've got kind of like traditional native villages for seven different Alaska Native groups. And Alaska Natives are such a huge, it's basically their state and we stole it from them, I guess. you know, I mean, they're still a big part. You know, they've got their corporations and everything. And the further you get out from Anchorage, the smaller villages, they're all pretty much native run. And so I think, that's a good way to get an idea of the history of the state and the people. What else would I say to do? I think you definitely need to like get outside. And there's lots of different hikes that you can do. Some of them are just like the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail is downtown and follows Turnagain Arm. I mean, that's just an easy paved path. So even someone who doesn't enjoy hiking or maybe who can't physically do it, I mean, it's easy enough for them to do it and still say, I was outside and I got to see the water and I saw the mountains. Maybe I saw a moose or something. And then there's, you know, there's progressively more intense hikes for people who are really want to do outdoorsy stuff. But one of you said in the episode 10 that I agreed with, that you can make it kind of as adventurous as you want to. So you can come and just kind of be relaxed and, you know, just be anywhere really in the city and see nature and everything, or you can really push yourself and get out into it. And you can fish from the docks downtown. That was true. There's places downtown and you can just go rent a rod and you can fish. I don't know if people really do it that much on their lunch break, but people do go down there. They call it combat fishing.
I have 15 minutes to get dinner. Come on, fish.
So was there something else, anything else that we got wrong on our last podcast?
No, nothing. I think, wait, was it your grandfather who said he was golfing at 2? I think I told Elizabeth that might have been a bit of an exaggeration.
That would not surprise me.
Because then I was like, wait, could he really be, because I'm guessing if he was in Anchorage, no, it's going to be dark at 2 in the morning. And then I was like, well, maybe if he's in Fairbanks, and even there, if you account for, like, sunset and sunrise, and you get the 30 minutes of twilight on either side, they still have 2 good hours of darkness in Fairbanks in the summer.
Can you golf in Fairbanks?
It wasn't too far off. Like, you can be out probably about 4 in the morning golfing, so it wasn't too bad.
So cruise people, what should cruise folks do? Is just using the cruise excursions, is that the way to go, or are there better options for cruisers?
I mean, it kind of depends on what you want to do, and, you know, some of it is just dictated by how long you're going to be in each port of call, I guess. I would think if you want to do an excursion, like, I know the cruise ships sometimes have ones for you to do, but I would try to plan those on your own, like, kind of do some research and book if you can with a local company, because a lot of the ones I know that the cruise ships kind of push on you, they run them themselves, and they will just, like, hire young kids who have never lived in Alaska to come up and do it. And so then you're taking this tour by some person who's been here maybe 5 hours longer than you have, and they don't necessarily, I mean, they know the basic stuff, but they can't really give you, you know, an idea of what it's like to live in Alaska, because I know a lot of people, when they find out where you live, they want to know what it's like, and, you know, you can get that from a local. You're not going to be able to get that really from some kid who spent 2 months of his summer up here. And different ports of call have different, you know, more things that you can do. I know glacier tours in Juneau are big. I had friends come up once, and they did a tour of the ice caves, which for some reason I feel like I just read they collapsed. I'm not sure. I was like, what? And then I just skipped it.
More people died in Alaska wilderness.
Maybe died. I was like, it couldn't have been that serious. But that they showed us pictures, and that's cool. I mean, you get to go underneath the glacier and underneath it and see the ice and the really, really blue ice, like Elizabeth had said. You know, you can go on the helicopter tours or the float plane tours just to get aerial views of everything and see the glaciers.
So the helicopter tours, the seaplane stuff, that's really worth, because that's extra. I mean, that's some money to lay out for people. Is that worth it? Is that?
I think so. I mean, I did the one helicopter tour in Juneau. I thought it was worth it. My cousin did one. I believe he did it in Skagway, and he thought it was worth it. The only time I wouldn't say it's not worth it is if you get there and it's a really crappy day. I mean, you'll still get a good view and you'll still see stuff. I don't know. I'm so cheap that I would be hesitant to spend the money if it was going to be overcast and I wouldn't be able to see as much. But I still think probably if the pilots can do it and they don't have to cancel it based on weather, then it's probably worth it. Just because you get a totally, I mean, to see it from up above is just totally different from, it's a totally different experience, so.
Okay, well, that is our show for this week. On behalf of Sandy, Robin, Andy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you, Amy, for joining us. And thank everyone for listening. And we will see you next week. Gotta fly.